Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
We're going to challenge him right now. We're ready for the debate. Come on, Harry. Let's talk about the issues.
That's Nevada GOP candidate Sharon Angle. She's talking about Harry Reid, of course. Yesterday was another shake-up election. The primaries all over the country, thousands of voters going out, tens and hundreds of thousands of voters going out. And the news is quite interesting. Joining us to talk about Tuesday's primary elections, Mark Hemingway. He's editorial page staff writer for The Washington Examiner. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
With about a minute before we take a break and continue on the other side, how would you summarize the results of the primaries yesterday?
It was sort of a verdict on incumbents, unions, and Democrats. It wasn't good for either of those three.
When we come back with that short response, Mark Hemingway will expand. We will talk a little bit about what this means for the midterm elections. That's what everyone really has their eye on here. The political landscape seems to be shifting under our feet, and we'll talk more about the Tuesday's primary elections. On this Wednesday afternoon, June the 19th, this is Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You could email us right here in the studio. We are coming to you live. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at IssuesETC. 10 more minutes with Mark Hemingway from the Washington Examiner on the primary elections of yesterday after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org, or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We're talking about Tuesday's primary elections nationwide. Mark Hemingway is our guest, editorial page staff writer for the Washington Examiner for the remainder of this hour on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 9th. Mark, let's take them in the order that you gave them to us. You said it was a bad day for incumbents, unions, and the Democratic Party. Beginning with incumbents, what do you mean?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about anti-incumbent sentiment and coming up in this election or whatever, and we saw a pretty tangible example of that. A Republican congressman, Bob Inglis, in the 4th District of South Carolina, was forced into a runoff election. He's represented the 4th District of South Carolina for 12 of the last 18 years. I mean, the people in that county know him very well. And, you know, he's not like a liberal Republican or anything like that. But, you know, there, for a lot of reasons, people are upset at him. He voted for TARP, you know, in particular, the big bailout of the Wall Street. And so as a result, he's forced into a runoff, against the primary challenger, which, you know, in a situation just would have been unthinkable not too long ago.
You also mentioned the unions. What tells you that this was these primaries were kind of a bad day for unions?
Well, specifically the election specifically Blanche Lincoln won her Democratic primary. Now, the outcome of the Democratic primary in Arkansas is almost an afterthought at this point in time. Arkansas has remained Democratic through some weird, quirky historical factors, but it looks like it's finally joining the South here soon, and it's been rapidly trending Republican. So whoever won the Democratic primary is likely vying for the right to lose to the Republican by 20 points in November. But Blanche Lincoln, the incumbent sitting U.S. Senator, had tried to position herself as a moderate Democrat on issues like health care and all these other things where she stood, pretty confidently to the right of her party. Well, the problem is this angered a lot of Democratic interest groups, specifically unions. And unions decided they were going to go down to Arkansas and teach Blanche Lincoln a lesson. And somehow they got this candidate, Bill Halter, up and off the ground as a legitimate challenge to Blanche Lincoln from the left in Arkansas, and they poured tons of money into that race, and they did eventually force Lincoln into a runoff. Well, she won the runoff last night. It's going to be the candidate in the general election, but in the meantime, unions spent $10 million in this failed candidacy, and an anonymous White House source told a reported the Politico last night that basically said they were very unhappy that unions had just flushed $10 million down the toilet, money that could have gone a long way in November toward, helping candidates that were, actually electable. It was a pretty in the big, verdict on unions. And recently there was a big, this is unrelated to what happened last night, there was a big effort afoot in North Carolina where the unions had threatened to start a third political party to challenge moderate Democrats in that state that had also opposed health care and voted against it. And the unions, so I think specifically the SEIU, which is the most powerful politically connected union in the country, failed to get, the required 80,000 signatures to get to get their candidates on the ballot. So, the unions have not been able to flex a lot of muscle lately. And in particular, Andy Stern, the famed president of the SEIU, who was in the news a lot because he was the most frequent visitor to the White House, recently retired or stepped down from the head of the SEIU. And a lot of people have been wondering whether or not unions' influence is going to wane a lot as a result.
And then you mentioned the Democratic Party. Does a bad day for the Democratic Party in Tuesday's primaries necessarily mean a good day for the Republican Party?
Well, no, not necessarily. I think that, obviously there's nothing about anything we've seen that doesn't, point to, large Republican gains, continuing in November. There's no, underlying structural dynamic. Blanche Lincoln is a good example. Yeah, okay, she won her primary, but she's either candidate that won the primary was losing to the Republican challenger in that race by 25 points, which when you consider Lincoln's a sitting senator and she's losing to Republican challenger by 25 points, I mean that's just that's not just a verdict on Lincoln as a senator. I mean that's especially since Lincoln is a more conservative Democrat even. I mean that's pretty much a verdict on how people in Arkansas feel about her party at large. There's not everything I think is entirely hunky dory for Republicans. For instance, they nominated Sharon Angle won her primary in Nevada for the right to run against Harry Reid, and there were three people vying for the right to challenge Harry Reid. And Harry Reid is very vulnerable and kind of been polling consistently in the low 40s, and there's a real chance for Republicans to knock him out. And Republicans just went to the ballot and nominated sort of the least proven candidate or whatever to go against Harry Reid. I'm not saying Angela's necessarily a bad candidate or anything, but there are a lot of things about her biography and some other things that could, that don't necessarily show that she was the best person to pick to run against Harry Reid.
How did the Tea Party show, if not officially, then unofficially yesterday?
Well, they, in Sharon Angle's case, the reason why she won essentially was that she was the, official Tea Party, candidate. She, is a very staunch conservative, and Tea Party flexed their muscle in that case. In fact, she was largely unknown and sort of came out of nowhere very rapidly to win that primary. And it was largely due to the fact that the Tea Party sort of, descended into Nevada and tapped her as the official candidate. So, they're still a very, active important force here in American politics, but more importantly, they're especially influential in the Republican primary. In this case, it's interesting. There aren't many people you'd point to and say, "Oh, well, they're a Tea Party candidate." But more to the point, there's a lot of Republicans, even Republican incumbents, that are rapidly absorbing the Tea Party message into sort of the warp and woof of their campaigns and the Republican Party. So, the Tea Party is, I think, pushing the Republicans to the right on a lot of issues. For instance, Carly Fiorina, won an election running in the Republican primary for Senate in California, and I believe Carly Fiorina was running as a pro-life Republican. And I'm not sure in my heart of hearts where Carly Fiorina or Meg Whitman, the other sort of liberal Republican that won the gubernatorial primary, I'm not sure where these people stand on pro-life issues. In fact, I could see a scenario where these people, maybe 4-6 years ago running an election would have, been running as pro-choice Republicans. But I think the Tea Party's, pushing things, slightly to the right. Whether it's good to, get, pro-lifers in name only in office is preferable to, pro-choicers remains to be seen.
Finally, then, with about a minute, Mark, where do the predictions for midterms stand now post-primaries?
Where do the predictions stand post-primaries? Well, they are all over the map. Last I looked, Gallup is recording its largest lead ever for Republicans in the generic primary ballot advantage, which means they just asked voters in general whether you're going to vote Republican or you're going to vote Democrat. And they've been doing this poll for decades, and it's sort of a big barometer for pollsters and people who follow election stuff. And it's interesting because traditionally the poll underrepresents Republican sentiment. And this is, all well-known and calculated. So, even polls that show a narrow Democratic lead often result in Republican victories. So the fact that it's not just showing a Republican lead, but showing a significant Republican lead, points to very, very large gains by Republicans. But, again, November's a long way off, and there have been, crazy estimates, for everything from, Republicans winning, at the low end 20 to 30 seats to the, crazy, doomsday apocalyptic scenario for Democrats where, 100 plus seats, change hands. I know that the RNC is looking at, 100 to 120 seats that they're actively challenging and think they have a legitimate shot at. So, it's going to be, unless things change, and they might very well change, it's going to be an electoral bloodbath, I would imagine, for Democrats.
Folks, you will find a link to Mark Hemingway's columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mark Hemingway is a regular guest and editorial page staff writer for the Washington Examiner. Mark, thank you.
Thank you.
In the second hour of the program on this Wednesday afternoon, we'll spend the first part of it with Colonel Jeff Williams. He spent 6 months aboard the International Space Station in 2006. He took more pictures than any astronaut ever has of the Earth, and they've been published in part in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. The work of his hands, that'll kick off the second hour of the program. Then Rob Bowman will be our guest. We'll be talking to him about the teachings and the practices of the Word Faith Movement. He's author of the book, The Word Faith Controversy. That's the second hour of Issues, Etc., straight ahead. Thanks to Pilgrim Lutheran Church in West Bend, Wisconsin. Pastor there, Joseph Fisher, good friend of the program, longtime listener. They're part of the Issues, Etc. 300. Now, I don't know if their deadline for budget matters is coming up on July 1st, but your congregation's deadline for budget matters may well be coming up July 1st. So if you'd like to include Issues, Etc. in your congregation's budget and become part of the Issues, Etc. 300, make haste. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and find the flyer that tells you everything you need to know about joining the Issues, Etc. 300. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.